Broadcasting live and direct from across the USA. He's on the East Coast and she's near the West Coast. PetSitting.tv presents
Bark Soup
with Joshua Carey and Bella Vasta. Mixing up the latest pet business news,
sprinkling in helpful tips and tricks,
and topping it off with a dash of the answers to your questions. Here are the chefs of the show, Joshua and Bella.
Hey, 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 everybody out there. Welcome to the inaugural show of Bark Soup. I'm Bella Vasta, and Joshua Carey is also here with me. Josh, how's it going out in New Jersey?
Everything's going great out in New Jersey. How's everything out in Arizona?
It's sunny out here in Arizona. Not a cloud in the sky. I can't complain. I'm so excited about our inaugural show. What about you?
Definitely. This is our very first show of Bark Soup. It's going to be a twice monthly program that we host. And let's go over a little bit about how each program is going to work. Basically, what are we going to do? We're going to start with a little bit of pet industry current events, right?
Right.
And then we're going to segue into questions from pet sitters and other pet professionals in other pet-related industries that have been posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/barksoup, of course. And what
Absolutely.
Else?
Absolutely. And then there's also going to be an awesome scavenger hunt that's going to all of a sudden pop up somewhere in our 45-minute show with a great valued product from either Josh or I or maybe one of our partners that you'll have to listen for.
Wow, a scavenger hunt. How intriguing. I like the idea of that. So it's a radio show, yet there's going to be a scavenger hunt.
Absolutely. And then all of our things are going to be posted also on our Facebook page, you know, any articles or information that we talk about. Kind of like, have you heard about all of the stuff going on with Diamond pet food recalls lately?
No. There's another recall?
They're everywhere, Josh. I mean, it started with just chicken soup, and then it expanded to puppy food and kept going and going. There's this awesome place I think that everybody should be connected to. It's called truthaboutpetfood.com, and Susan does an amazing job. If you go there right now, she posts everything. It's so vital for us in the pet industry, no matter what we do, poop scooping, grooming, pet sitting, to really help spread the word to help keep the pets safe, don't you think?
Well, you said truthaboutpetfood.com, right? Now, do you, when you go there, is there a way to get, like, announcements? Is that how you find out about it?
Absolutely. I get an email that comes directly to my inbox, so I'm able to go directly to the manufacturer's website, find out the information, and either pass on Truth About Pet Foods link, or if I have time, I always like to post it on my blog and blast that out for my own SEO. But
so
it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Well, yes. So I guess how a pet sitter could use this, well, how do you use it exactly? You find out about a pet recall, and then you do what? You'll not only post it on your Facebook page, but the goal is for you as pet professional to educate and inform your audience, right, your pet owners.
Exactly, Josh. I mean, I think it's really important for us to establish ourselves as experts and almost like a news source for our local community to come to. So because we're tapped in so much nationally, I think it's really important to pass it on. Something else that's kind of an interesting topic, did you hear about the D Pet Hotel, D for Distinguished?
I did. It's a pet hotel, if I'm not mistaken, right? And they house your pet, right?
Yeah, I read about it in the Phoenix Business Journal because they're actually going to be opening up a location here in Scottsdale. And their first one is out in Hollywood. They were actually just featured on one Bravo show, too. And one of the cast members had dropped her dogs off. But what I found intriguing is they're taking Pet Taxi to a whole new level. Did you read what they're doing?
Well, I did, and it's interesting because it's not only pet taxi that they have. They also do boarding, daycare, grooming, and that sort of a thing. But, yeah, what they call pet taxi, they, of course, use the word chauffeur because their clientele is, how shall we say, a little more upscale because they don't just transport in a Ford. They will literally pick up your dog in the likes of a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, get this, a Bentley, a Porsche, or even a Rolls Royce. Now, who do you think their target market is? That's absolutely incredible.
Definitely the affluent, Josh. I mean, it kind of plays into something that one of our likers, Alan George, was posting on our Facebook page, facebook.com/barksoup. He was saying that 92% of pet owners spend equal or more money on their pets during a recession, and he got that from smallbusinesstrends.com. He also was saying that the pet industry is the sixth fastest-growing industry and seventh largest industry in the nation. Can you believe that?
Our industry is the seventh largest industry in the nation. That's just amazing. And it's obviously still growing. And what I find incredible is that as fast as it's growing, as big as it already is, you know, we are still relatively small. We are still in our infancy, you know?
Absolutely. Actually, I was just having a conversation the other day with someone saying that even the poop industry itself, the poop scooping and waste removal, is really in its infancy. It actually makes the pet sitting industry look like 20-year-olds, you know? But I'd love to hear more from poop scooping people on our page. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we want to involve not only pet sitters in these types of discussion, but pet professionals are so varied. There are the groomers, there are the poop scoopers, like you said, and of course the pet sitters. Yeah, we want to hear from all of them.
And at the end of the day, we're all attracting the same types of clients. We're just providing different services. So I think it's really a message that can really reach across the country, even the world, you know. Moving right along, Tori from Endless Possibilities kind of weighed in on a story I saw. It was on Yahoo News last week, and it was talking about identity theft and how identity theft is not only for individuals, but businesses also encounter it. And did you know that they encountered something very similar to this? They actually had someone try to take out, I think, $500 off their business American Express in some island. I forget exactly which one, but that was pretty amazing to me. Have you ever heard of a business identity being stolen in that respect?
Well, I didn't actually hear about it before I read this news article. And let me just give a brief overview for those listening that aren't quite aware of how this works, because it's so scary and you'll see how vulnerable we all are. Identity theft, we all understand the concept. Somebody steals your identity in a variety of means. But with this new concept of business theft, what they're doing is actually going to your website, and they are pulling your website and recreating it on their servers. So it's done silently. You have no idea it's being done. Then they are drawing traffic to their replicated website of your business. So now your potential clients think they are on your website, and they are communicating with your potential clients, getting them to pay them money, deposit it into their account, and lo and behold, what's happening? It's fraudulent. They are not paying the real business. Your identity has then been stolen. What do they say about this?
Well, my question to you, Josh, as the SEO expert of pet sittingology, is do you think something as simple as a Google alert for a business owner would help? You know, if I put in Google alerts to put my business name in and get an email every time something shows up on the web, would that help protect me, or is this even deeper than my understanding?
Well, yes and no. A Google alert is absolutely one of the things you can do. Just Google the phrase Google alert, and through Google, you'll be able to set up an alert for your name, your business name, any variations. And basically, you'll get an email anytime a new page referencing your name pops up. So naturally, if these bad guys are pulling your website, recreating it, that's going to be a reference to your name. You'll get an email. The other thing is that there's really nothing you can do to prevent people from pulling your content. Yes, I know a lot of pet sitters who want to prevent others from stealing their content will try to put all these protections in place with disabling copying, disabling right-clicking. But guess what? The bottom line is that where there's a will, there's a way. And if anybody wants to fraud your content, they will.
That's both scary and also enlightening. I also heard something really funny this week. It actually came from you. What is this, pets are hazardous to the elderly, Josh?
Yeah, it's... there was one article I saw that said, are pets hazardous to the elderly? And the truth of the matter is that there's this weird statistic that about 80,000 trips to the hospital each year are made by the elderly who are falling over their pets.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that they kept statistics on that.
There you go. It's sad and true all at the same time. 80,000 times a year, somebody is going to the hospital because they fell over their pet, the elderly. So, I mean, are pets hazardous to the elderly? I don't know. What do you think?
It might be really cool for pet sitters to maybe, if this is such an epidemic, contact the hospitals and say, hey, next time you get a person that falls over their dog, give them our card because now we can walk them. Your trip is our gain. I'm not quite sure,
yeah.
But that's an interesting statistic. I love it.
Yeah, well, there are a few ways that pet sitters could and should actually partner with hospitals. We were lucky enough to do it some years ago. And one of the easy ways, and I know I was talking to a pet sitter who was trying to get this set up with a hospital recently, simply put, how many times might an older person go to the hospital and pass away silently, and they have no family, no friends that are even aware of this,
even
sadder,
they'll
have their dog left back home, and nobody is there to not only care for the dog, but to know that the owner has passed away. So you could try to get in touch with the hospital and just ask them that anytime somebody passes away with a pet in their home, please give me a call and let me see what I can do.
I love that idea, Josh. That's so great. And I know out here in Scottsdale, at least, there's a lot of hospitals that have concierge or something of that like that you probably get in touch with. Last thing, do you realize how big our industry is and how much people take advantage of it and use it? Did you hear this weekend at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they brought up yet again the whole Obama eating dog and the whole thing on Mitt Romney putting the dog on top of his car? Now, I don't want to get into a political discussion or anything.
But of course not.
Just the fact that pets are so important to people that they will mention it at the White House in something fun like that is incredible, isn't it? I mean, our industry is just really in everything else out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tied into everything as high as the president. I mean, you remember when Obama got elected 4 years ago, he said that I promised my daughter that if I get elected, I'll be getting a puppy. And then there was for weeks, the whole news story was, what dog is Obama going to bring to the White House? And you know
what? Did he end up getting a Chesapeake water dog or something like that?
Some sort of water dog. I don't actually remember the name, but it's an adorable dog. It's a dog named Bo.
I mean, it's just a neat science for all, like, pet professionals to just, I mean, people are like, okay, this is great, maybe our listeners, but how do I tie this into our company? I think it's really neat being able to bring in all these different aspects of, you know, the world and show that you're not just one-sided with just your business, and you're bringing current events and news topics into it. These are great things to post on your Facebook page or start a discussion about because you're showing your personality and you're building relationships, don't you think?
Yeah, and your expertise. Setting up a blog is so simple these days, and like you said, even if you don't want to start a blog or aren't sure how to, post it on your Facebook page. Just get some dialogue going, and slowly but surely, you will gain an audience. Slowly but surely, you'll get a little better at it and be able to move it along in your direction.
That's absolutely right. So what else is out there that you've seen that was interesting?
Well, there was on Entrepreneur Magazine, there was a whole profile recently about five or six different professionals who had left their current profession behind and opted for a profession in the pet care industry. Did you see that?
Right. I see a lot of people doing that. That's definitely incredible. I think the most interesting part about that is that, you know, if you're going to be an accountant, Josh, you usually go to school to be an accountant and go through the CPA tests and the Series 7s and all this stuff, right? But when you're going to be a pet sitter or a pet business owner, they come from all walks of life, which I think makes our industry that much more colorful, if you will. It's very intriguing because some of the people that they mentioned, they were lawyers, accountants, hotel chain operators, executives. They were laid off. And the commonality is that they all get into it because they love the pets. But as we know, sometimes just loving the pets isn't enough to sustain a business, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I want to tie that back to the D pet hotel we were talking about. Because when we're talking about the D pet hotel and their luxurious chauffeur system where they could transport your animal from your home to their boarding facility in a Lamborghini, obviously that is not cheap, and obviously it's not for everybody. But I have to ask, who do you think is making that decision? The dog? No, of course not. It's the human pet owner that is deciding.
It would be playing the pet owner's egos, you know? I mean,
right.
We all buy things for, emotional reasons, hence the Coach purse or the Lexus instead of a Kia. You know, at the end of the day, they all do the same thing, but...
Right. And I know that I've heard so many pet sitters say that they got into this business because of their love of animals. We all have, but what you have to realize is that in order to really succeed at this, you have to acknowledge that it is a business. And yes, you're going to play with dogs and cats all day, but it's the human that you have to sell first in order to make that decision. So you have to have the business skills. You have to be able to connect with the human to be able to spend all day with dogs and cats.
That's a great point, Josh. I think if more people did that, the average small business is 5 years, the average pet business is 2. So I think that could really help that statistic head. And with that, I think it brings us to our first commercial break.
You're absolutely right. We will be right back after this.
Do you wish you could work on your business instead of in your business? Wish you could spend a lazy day relaxing or going out to lunch with your friends while still making money in your pet sitting business? Now you can. Jump Consulting will take the jump out of the plane with you, making sure you land on your target
in just four weeks.
Dedicate the time.
Do your homework.
Gain a life. Jump Consulting's employee quick start program will get you out of the dog-eat-dog world and on top of your business, giving your time back while your employees work. Visit their website now at jumpconsulting.net. Jump Consulting, who's got your shoot?
And welcome back to Bark Soup. Joshua Carey and Bella Vasta here. Now we're moving on to our next segment, which is our pet Q&A. These are actual questions posed by our fans and our listeners on our Facebook page, facebook.com/barksoup. We will start with a great question from Jenna in Arizona. I believe that's your neck of the woods, Bella. So with that, let me pose this question right to you. Jenna wants to know, what did your company look like at 90 to 100,000 per year, right at the six-figure mark? And how many staff members, whether employees or ICs, did you have? And finally, how did you prepare yourself to handle the business at that stage? Great question.
That's like an awesome question. It's actually a question I've never heard before in all the years that we've been doing this. Have you heard this one? I think it's a great question.
Yeah, I haven't. Somebody who actually wants to know how it looks so they could perhaps visualize it. I'm a big fan of visualization. And also how you prepare for that sort of growth. Go ahead.
Right. So mine, I only had 2 people working for me at the time of the 90-100,000 cusp. And I think it might look different in everyone's business. There's a couple of reasons. One, if you are charging a lot, then your volume is going to be a lot lower. Therefore, you're not going to need as much workers, right?
I love that theory. It's so true. Go ahead.
That's why it really depends. But, I've also met businesses as recently as this week that only pull in $40,000 a year, and they have 8 ICs working for them. So that's I kind of think it's a little inefficient, but that's my own opinion. Maybe it works for them.
Right.
So how does it look? It kind of looks different to everybody. But for me personally, I believed in running a lean, staff, so people that could do a lot of work for me so that I had less to manage, and a small service area so that I could saturate it. And that could be applied to poop scooping. That could be applied to pet grooming or pet sitting. It really doesn't matter. What do you think, Josh? What does your company look like at 90, 100,000 mark?
Before I answer that specifically, I will just want to point back out this great point you made about if somebody is doing 100,000 in services a year, chances are they're going to want to charge more so they could service less people versus charging less and having to service double the amount of people and running around crazy. So that's an important fact to really wrap your head around.
Hey Josh, should I kind of give a teaser of what we're kind of working on in the background, or should we wait?
Oh, give the teaser, Bella.
Okay, so everybody, we are working on this amazing product for you. It's going to have worksheets, it's going to have interviews, it's going to probably be close to 30 pages or so to help you figure out what your pricing structure should be like. And it's not in any way, shape, or form to convince you to raise or lower your rates. It's just a simple question that keeps coming up so many times over and over again that Josh and I have been working very hard on for the past 2 months so far on it. So wait for it.
Yes, exactly. All about finding your sweet spot pricing and how to make it all work for you.
So back to you, though. But what does your company look like? I'm curious to know.
Well, I was lucky enough, Alicia and I, before we started Alicia's Animals, we were lucky enough to actually learn the ropes through another pet sitting business in New York. It was one of the most popular businesses at the time, so we were able to work closely with the business owner, and we were able to work as pet sitters with him to sort of learn inside and out. So when we got his blessing to launch our own business, we were able to sort of grow systematically, slowly but surely. And we had ICs, and we have about two dozen ICs on the team. And I remember our very first December, when we made our most money, what we were doing was we almost couldn't keep up with the demand. So as we saw...
Didn't you actually write a blog on that? I think I seem to remember something about your bank statements at some point.
Yeah, I have a screenshot of the December bank statement, but
you'll
every time...
You'll have to forward that to me so I can post it on our facebook.com/barksoup page so everyone can see it.
Perhaps. So we would get calls, and if we didn't have anybody available, we would quickly do another round of hiring, and we must have done two or three different rounds of hiring in December alone just to keep up with the demand. So we weren't prepared for it. We just had to sort of, rush to catch up to the demand.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Here's another question from Mary. Let's see. She said she's starting her business in December. Right now, she's working on her logo and contracts. She already has a business name and registered in Florida, but right now she lives in a different state. She's going to be moving there in November. So what else should she be doing in order to prepare herself and her business? She's already certified with NAPS. There isn't a lot that she can do until she moves, but there must be more that she can do now. So I think she's, trying to prepare herself as best she can. So Josh, if you were in that position, what would you be doing right now?
Well, let me review this. So I understand she's in the other state. So right now she has her business name. She already has a support group, which is great. And is that basically it? And she's wondering what else she can do?
Yeah, she's wondering like what else she should be doing over there.
Okay, well, just off the top of my head, let me focus on what I have one of the biggest passions for, and that's a website. You could spend months on getting your website right. So if you haven't already began building your website, start with that and think about what services you want to offer. Think about what sort of tone and what market. In other words, who is your ideal client? Who do you want to focus on? Then if you have that up and running, start with your payment systems and like a bank account. How are you going to get payment?
Building your team, it sounds like, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The entire team, certainly. And everything that's involved with that, you want to she can get the ball rolling on getting insured and bonded, which will take a little bit of time. Just basically getting her office up and running could take
getting
a long time.
Getting those systems in place so that when she gets there, she can hit the ground running. Things that I was going to suggest to her is just I think people love to help. So I think it would be really neat, and people have contacted me about this in my area and said, hey, I'm going to be opening up a business in a couple of months. I was wondering if I could pick your brain about the temperature of the economy in the area and what works and what doesn't work. By asking people for help, you can do it on the phone. They're going to want to instantly help you, probably. Number two, you're going to start building a relationship with them. So when you do get there, you might already start having your extended sales force built for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah, perfect. That alone should give her plenty to focus on before she sets up shop.
It doesn't say anything in here. I'm wondering if Mary has her website up. But tell me a little bit about this easy website thing that you just launched, too. I mean, there's so many amazing tools that that are out there for pet sitters.
Yeah, well, I've been personally building websites for small business owners for over 10 years and helping pet sitters with their website for a handful now. And
but that must cost a ton of money, Josh. I mean, like $1,000, $1,500.
Well, I mean, if you're going to hire a designer, certainly they could charge that and more. But this is something I wanted to launch for so long because I see day in and day out the struggle pet sitters go through with trying to build their website, update their website, get in touch with their designer. So what I was able to develop was a WordPress-powered system. Now, basically, if you don't know WordPress, it's just another great web-building tool. And I've taken all the elements that have worked with my own pet sitting website, and I basically hand pet sitters everything they need on that front to get started. You can go to petsittingology.com and you'll see the pet sitting website info link to see all the details.
We can post it also on our fan page too, so it's nice and easy for everyone to see.
And I do appreciate you bringing that up, Bella. It means a lot.
Hey, I think it's great, Josh. I mean, everyone that I talk to, I mean, they all are caught in these pet sitter templates. It kind of means that our websites should really look impressive and not like high schooler did them, you know.
Right, and I'll leave it at and I'll leave it at this. The bottom line is that one of our biggest goals is to establish trust and credibility with your potential client. And the minute they go to your website, we all do it. You're going to make an instant judgment call on whether or not you want to even continue reading this website. So, getting
you know what I call that?
What?
Walking into a ballroom in either a ball gown or your sweatpants.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be like that one way or another.
Yeah, so it's really important to make sure that every time a potential client comes in contact with you and your brand, that it shows credibility and expertise and establishes that trust.
Absolutely.
So let me move on to this next question from Bethany, and this is a great question too. She wrote, do you think pet sitters should have a form that clients have to fill out about pictures, video, or social media issues? Sort of a legal question. What do you say, Belle?
Yeah, I saw this on our Facebook, and again, that was another kind of good question. A lot of people don't ask that. I was really glad to see it. Bethany, I think that rather than having, I'm kind of like a less is more kind of person. So if you have a service agreement, I think that should be one of the clauses in it. I don't think that you need like a separate form for people to fill out because the last thing people want to experience when they're establishing themselves with your company is that it's a sign here, sign there, sign your life away. We're not responsible for this. We're not responsible for that. You know, it's very crazy. What I've adopted personally is I tell my staff that the picture has to have at least 75% of the pet in it. So it's not like a shot from overhead and it's like 20% of the picture has the pet and the rest is like the house and their, you know, incredible painting. So I think that's pretty important. And then,
well, let me ask you this question.
Has,
is this question about release?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Okay, so she's asking whether or not you should have the client fill out a release form that allows you to post pictures or videos on your on your properties.
Right, and my short answer is that it should be in your service contract, saying
right,
that
just a blanket statement saying that
pictures,
we. Yeah.
You know, if you don't agree to it, let us know, and then it's not your up to you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree or disagree? Think that's good?
Yeah, we personally have just if and when we have pictures, we sort of just email the client directly and ask if they have a problem with it. Now, some might think that that creates more work, which thinking about it now, it might. We probably should just have the blanket statement, but either one is good.
Okay, I like that. So what do you think about Lynette had actually asked us something I would love for you to comment on is what do you think the best tool is to carry onward, tool to carry to warn off barking, snarling dogs that are loose? That was definitely also a very interesting question that off the top of my head, I said, you know, I was thinking, call a trainer in your area and ask them. That would be a great way to start a relationship if you don't have one already.
Mm.
I know some pet sitters might carry, you know, pepper spray or something, but it's I think that's a little excessive. I don't think that you're really going to have to or be able to, you know, ward them off. It's kind of,
yeah,
it's
sort
a tough situation. But
yeah,
it's
sort of like what would a mail carrier do? I'm sure they deal with this all day. So what do they do? I guess mace or, yeah, some sort of training technique that you
yeah.
could, yeah. I don't know if there's something that you want to, I don't know if there's something cumbersome that you would want to even have, but I would first address the specific issue because I'm guessing this question arose because maybe it happened to her.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
I would, yeah,
that's,
right?
That's a good answer. I mean, I like the postal man comment,
yeah.
You know, and definitely ask a trainer in your area. Josh, Deborah Evans says she just started. What's the best way for her to get her word out to the community that she's there?
Yeah, one of my favorite types of questions. I've written about this quite a bit. There's an article we'll link to on our Facebook page about, I wrote an article and shot a video about how I feel about flyers. And it's sort of the same thing about how flyers might not be your best initial approach. Sure, flyers in conjunction with other marketing is fine. But here's the short answer. In order to get the word out, I would say, and I'm not just saying this, I would say you want to have a website to act as your biggest and best marketing tool, and I'll tell you why. Because when people are actively in the market for a pet sitter, when they know they need a pet sitter, what are they going to do 99 times out of 100? They're going to go online. They're going to do a search. If you catch people a little what I call passively by handing out flyers, and they are not in the market for a pet sitter, it's not going to be an active search. They might say, oh, okay, thanks.
Well, I think what you're saying, Josh, is that you need to get people, you need to get in front of the people that are ready to buy now.
Right,
so
when they are searching for you.
Rather than approach it from the perspective of, let me get it out there so I can show them. The real question is, how do I get in front of the people who are looking now?
Well, right, and you really have to, because I don't believe that if I were to hand a flyer to a person or a person passing by saw my flyer, if they're not in the headspace to hire a pet sitter, it's just not going to sit with them. So the best
they're
advice
not gonna
I could...
They're not going to hold on to your flyer. They're not going to hold on
right.
to the ValPak flyer that comes from the mailbox.
They're not.
And then they're not going to remember to find it if they hold on to it.
Right. What they're going to do is they're going to go online when they are ready and do a search and then begin their search.
Probably from their phone at this point in the game.
Yeah, which is a whole separate conversation. So
right.
again, to answer your question specifically, I would say you must and should, to get the word out, build a phenomenal website.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We have a key situation. The person says she's having trouble getting two copies of keys from clients. They don't see the need and never have them ready for her or her staff. What would you say to that really quick?
Who doesn't see the need? The client?
The client doesn't see the – I guess the client is saying, why do you need two copies of my key?
Well, if you as business owner need a copy of the key for whatever obvious reason, then it's your responsibility to stress that and to make that clear. It goes back to any sort of product and service. If the buyer doesn't get the reason that they should buy this, they're not going to. If it doesn't make sense to them. Uh-oh, what is that, Bella?
Uh-oh, I know this Josh, I think it's time for us to announce the scavenger hunt. I think it's time for the first scavenger hunt announcement.
Go for it.
All right. So the first listener who emails me at danielle@jumpconsulting.net.
Right now.
Right now, the first person I get, and I'll announce it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/barksoup, the first person I get, they are going to get 1 hour of coaching on anything that they would like. That's a $95 value that I'm giving away for free. And
whoa.
We can schedule it whenever they want. It can be on hiring, on networking, on marketing, on building relationships with veterinarians, anything that they want, 1 hour, absolutely free. And if the caller is out of the country, we can do it on Skype. So this is not just for the continental United States. What do you think about that?
So the first listener right now who emails you at danielle@jumpconsulting.net and says, hey, I heard your scavenger hunt, will win a 1 hour coaching call with you. That's great.
Yep. You got it. You got it.
Perfect.
Cool. So I know that bell kind of cut you off. Were you done answering that key question?
No, I was in the middle of a thought, so let me just pick it back up. Okay, if the question is how do you get the two copies of the keys because your clients aren't really getting it, first I would look at two things. First, is this more than one client, or is this just one difficult client? If it's just one client over your time doing this, then I wouldn't worry about it. But if there's two, three, if you see a consistent pattern that, wow, nobody's giving up their keys to me, I would reevaluate your approach. Then it's obviously something you're doing or not doing that's not relaying the real need. Maybe you actually don't need two keys and they're seeing that it's sort of superfluous. Or maybe you do, in fact, but
again. That was
again,
a big word, Josh, superfluous.
Yeah, I looked it up 5 minutes before the show. So
I love your answers. I think your answer is really great. And if I could add to that really quick, I think
of course it
comes from managing expectations. So if before the consultation you're explaining to the client, not I need two keys, please have them ready for me, but, you know, we are a company that really looks out for you and wants to make sure we have a plan B and a plan C. You know, that's why we need two copies of the key. And then when they ask you, one stays with me, the owner, or one stays in the office, and one stays with your pet sitter. So God forbid anything ever happened, your pet is never going to suffer. And usually, it's my experience that they are overly grateful at that point because then they know that you have their best interest, and it's not just a give me more keys to your house kind of thing.
Exactly. So the big takeaway I heard you just say is that anything we relay to our clients or potential clients that we require, you don't just want to demand it or let them know that we need this. Let them know with a sentence or two why we need this, why it helps them, how the process goes around in that capacity.
Explain it. I mean, think of it like a little kid. You don't just tell a kid to do something. You explain to them why, and you tell them it's because you love them.
Right.
So
basically tell your...
Oh, go on. What?
Oh, no, I was going to say, so basically you want us to tell our potential clients how much we love them.
Yes. I think if it comes from a place of love, you're going to get a response from a place of yes.
Exactly. So that does wrap up the pet Q&A from all the pet sitters who posted on our facebook.com/barksoup page. We do want to say thank you for submitting those. And up until our next show and beyond, please do visit the page and post your questions so we can answer them.
I would also encourage them and like to see their current events or things that they think are interesting too. Another one that just really started blowing up today on our page was about that eye investigation in Florida, you know, those pet sitters. But we could probably save that for next show.
Yes. We are coming down. We are coming down to the wire on our first show. And before we get into the final segments, which we affectionately will call shout outs, I do want to say that I know that there was a lot of information stuffed into this 45 minutes, and we did that quite deliberately. We want this to be a sort of quick and fast-paced show, and that's why it will be recorded, and that's why we want you to be able to listen over and over again.
I think some great times to listen to it is while you're doing laundry. I hate folding clothes. It's so boring, and if I have my mind going, something like this and keeping me entertained, it goes so much faster, or walking dogs or driving around in the car. The coolest thing about this is that we could download it from your iPhone right off the website. You could download it to your computer. You could download it anywhere you want, you know, Josh? I mean, it's really take it with you anywhere you want.
Right, and we don't just want this to be a one-way street, so to speak. We do want this to be interactive, like Bella brought to the table, saying, hey, the first person that emails me now will win something. So we want to continue to do things like that. We want to get your input week after week so we can reference it, so we can discuss it, so we could all grow and become better in the pet industry. So with that, let's finish up our shout-out segment by giving a little hello and shouts and thanks to some of our fans. What do you got for us, Bella?
All right. Well, you know what, Josh? We are up to 85 likers already, and we've only really been going hard with this page for about a week. I set it up about 2 weeks ago just so it was there, and then we really started going for it. And I am just honored and humbled at the response that we've gotten. So we couldn't have done it without a lot of these people. Let's see. Margaret was one of our first people, and Cammy and Robert, and Jenna from AZ Playtime Pet Care, or Playtime Pet Sitting and Dog Walking, All Pets Pet Sitting, Tori from Endless Possibilities, Christina Wagner, who's actually a really awesome radio show host here in the Valley, who was really interested in hearing our show. Who
really?
Else you got over there?
Well, some of our initial, early, first fans were people like Tori Leitig, Paula Fielder, Jenna Hacker, Trethewey, Cindy Chain Johnson, Robin Perdue, Carolyn Sturgill, Marianne Jontrouse, Sarah Covert, John Ray, Janine Maladry Schlesinger, Marcy Bram Flahiff, Julia Riley Cranford, Bethany Buster Green.
Wow, that's quite the list there.
Yes, those were some of our early fans, and we thank you for that.
That's awesome. And then you know who else has been really awesome to us, Josh, is the NOVA Professional Pet Sitters Network. That's the Northern Virginia Pet Sitters Network. They've got a group of almost 200 people on their page, and they've really received us with open arms, and really, really thank them for that.
I love pet sitting networking groups. There are so many throughout the country, and we do want to hear from more of you guys going forward. Speaking of that, like mentioned earlier in the show, this is a twice-monthly program, and during the weeks where we are not airing, we are, of course, active on facebook.com/BarkSoup. And how do you want to wrap it up, Bella?
I want to insert one more thing. Cats 90210, Professional Cat Sitting Today, they asked us a really great question, and it was just simply, is this only for dogs? And so I want to make sure that everybody hears and knows that this show is really for you, the pet business owner. So while Josh and I might have a really big pull right now with pet sitters or be very out there with pet sitters, we want to hear from the dog groomers and the poop scoopers and the pet portrait people, any kind of pet store owners, self-dog wash stations, anybody that we possibly can would love to hear from if you have a pet business.
Yeah, pet industry overall. Excellent.
Yeah. So, Josh, what do you say? I think this looked really awesome.
I think so, too. But really, Bella, what do we know? I hope to hear some feedback from our listeners, and we could improve, we could adjust, we can go forward, and we'll pick it up in 2 weeks' time from today, yes?
Sounds great. Can't wait, Josh.
All right, good speaking with you.
This has been another episode of Bark Soup, and you all take care.